Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Hi, you're listening to Escape Adulthood with Kim and Jason. It's July 23rd, 2005, and this is show number 2. On today's show, we share 8 adultitis-curing movies. Jason talks about the zoo. We reveal the winner of last show's promotion. And I have a few things to share about a recent concert we went to.
Welcome to the Escape Adulthood Podcast Show, your number one source for long-lasting, fast-acting, physician-approved adultitis relief. This is Jason.
And this is Kim.
And we're coming to you straight from Madison, Wisconsin for our Escape Adulthood Show. Good to be here again today. It's kind of a nice day in Madison today, although tomorrow it's supposed to get up to 99 degrees.
Yes, so the heat index will be 105.
Yeah, so we won't be out in the outside very much. We have actually planned to go to a movie tomorrow, which
I'm totally
is
excited.
What kind of our show's about today. But I guess we should start out. I wanted to see, I was interested in some of the things you wanted to share about the concerts on the square we went to.
Yeah, this is a neat thing. I think we referred to this last show when we talked about making picnics. And
right.
A lot of people, you know, get picnics and take it to the concerts on the square in Madison. As you may or may not know, Madison, Wisconsin is the capital, Madison. And they have this very cool Capitol Square on the Isthmus downtown. The Capitol building's there, but they really do a nice job with the landscaping and flowers and that. And every summer, they have this cool concert series. The Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra comes out once a week on Wednesday nights to put on a concert. And it is one of the coolest things, I think, that we've experienced in Madison. But I noticed some extra childlike spirit there last week. We went with some friends, Jamie and Chris, and their little baby, Isabella. And it was a blast. We were just sitting on the blanket. We had gotten Subway. We're just relaxing, talking, and the music had started, and the atmosphere is such that some people kind of chat, some people sit and relax, some people are reading, doing homework.
Yeah, actually, at the we don't usually do this, but if you get really close to where the orchestra is, usually we sit a little bit around the square so you can't see that. And they have these signs up where when the music's going, you're supposed to be quiet, for the enjoyment of the people around you. And we usually don't have to deal with this, but we have some friends who normally sit more up front and center, and they call them the shushers.
Yeah.
Is that what it is? And if you're talking at all, they're like, shh, shh, you know? And so
it's like they can't even hear the concert when they're doing that.
And it's like this music has any words or anything like that. But so we don't usually encounter that. But in the fringes where we sit, there's a lot of childlike spirit going around.
Yes. And we were sitting there, and actually our friend Chris had kind of noticed the way the Capitol Square is, there's like this big ledge that kind of goes around the building for I don't know, it's probably like 5 feet off the ground. And the music, one of the first songs was pretty like a dramatic, aren't all symphony songs dramatic, but a very dramatic song. And he looked up, and there were probably about 5 young girls, probably between the ages of 7 and 12, and they were like doing ballet moves on this ledge as if they were the only people there.
As if it was orchestrated that
way. Yeah. As if they had planned these moves one by one, But I thought that was pretty neat. Chris had pointed out, like, boy, they're in their own little world or something. But then the thing that I found even more neat was, I don't know, 2 songs later or something, there was kind of this upbeat, like, symphony hoedown of sorts. And I look over and, I just kind of scan the crowd. There's like at least, 1,000 people there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people. So I look across the crowd and on different blankets, people have gotten up and they're just doing like hoedowns, They're just totally dancing.
Away.
Adults, So I thought that was a neat comparison. These kids who have found their way to kind of, you know, be in childhood, and then these adults who are escaping adulthood right here at the concert. So I thought that was kind of an inspiring thing. And
very cool.
Yeah. Neat connection back. So,
yeah. So, yeah, well, I really enjoy those concerts. They're kind of a cool way to get away. It's always neat. It's about 7 o'clock, and the breeze coming off both of the lakes is really cool. So
the sun's starting to get lower in the trees, and it's nice
good,
evening.
Good stuff.
Yeah, one of the other cool things that Madison has that we found on our like second trip here when we visited the city is the zoo and they have a free zoo here in Madison, which is just amazing. And the person who kind of set it up, Henry Vilas, he said it has to be free forever.
Yep.
So it's kind of neat to know that next year they won't start charging $10 at the door. It's just one of the coolest things in Madison. I know, Jason, you visit there quite a bit.
Yeah, I've always loved the zoo. And, you know, the first thing I think of when I think of a free zoo, and maybe some of you guys think of this too, is free zoo. What do they have there? Like squirrels and deers with broken legs and cows and stuff like that. And
sick animals.
Yeah, it is not. They have... Well, I call them name animals, you know, your lions, your tigers, your bears, they got them. So they have some really cool, I mean, they used to have elephants, they don't have those anymore, but giraffes and zebras and, you know, the big time animals and stuff. So I've been, you know, I love going to the zoo, and right now in the storyline of the comic strip, Kim and Jason have gone to the zoo with Boompa, so that's something I've been wanting to do for a long time. It's been kind of fun, and I've been able to kind of draw upon a lot of my own observations and things like that.
And if you've ever been to the Madison Zoo, you will notice a lot of visual comparisons in the background of this strip, which I thought was kind of neat. Just even the entrance looks just like it, which I don't even know if you do consciously or if that's just
a
subconscious
thing. You know, you just go with what you know, you know, and a lot of cartoonists, you know, they use an imagination, but they have to draw some of the visuals from somewhere. I mean, I think in a weekend comics are coming up, the kids are watching otters, you know, and that's, they have an otter thing there where they have this glass wall that you can watch them and stuff like that. And that's always fun. So one of the things that was interesting is, you know, I've heard cartoonists say I'm a cartoonist junkie, so I listen to all these cartoonists and read what they say. And they always talk about this, the point in the comic strip development where, the characters take on a life of their own and they write the jokes for you. And I always thought that was, you know, kind of weird and wondered how that would go. And probably in the last year or so, that's actually started to happen for me, where I'm starting to get to know Kim and Jason so well. And, which some of you are like, well, they're based on you. How could you not know them well? But they really have taken on their own, their own personalities and things like that. And they're based on us, but they've kind of, they've gone their own way, but...
you've met them along the way.
Yeah, And so it's been kind of cool because they have sort of taken on their own lives. And in this case, as I was writing it, and this is sort of a spoiler for some of you guys who haven't, who are listening to this when the show first comes out, but in the process of the zoo episode, Kim gets lost, okay? So my original, you know, I had all these ideas of, you know, what should happen when Kim gets lost, and... It hit me that when I was first doing it, that the ideas I was coming up with were not how Kim would act at all if she was lost. And I was thinking that, you know, Jason, his character tends to be a little bit more anxious and worried and things like that. But Kim's a little bit more, I like to say, naive endearing sort of way.
Interesting perspective.
You know, doesn't get ruffled by a lot of stuff. So, you know, then it kind of changed how the episode went, because it was like, okay, how would Kim act if she was lost in the zoo? You know, and so the comic strip sort of develops that character a little bit. And I think it would be interesting if I did another storyline down the line where Jason gets lost and you would see how the difference would be. So, so that was kind of cool to just see the development of that. And of course, to be able to, use my, experience of going to the zoo. I've been wanting to do an episode on that for a long time. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Actually, we were at the zoo a couple weeks ago, and there's this giraffe, and I think there's an image of a giraffe in one of the strips that kind of reminds me of that experience. It was like a foot away from our face. Like, I don't know, the way the pit kind of is set up. I mean, there's no way it could have touched us, but I was freaked.
Just that close. Yeah,
yeah, it was that.
You're like, I know that neck is long. Maybe you're kind of like Inspector Gadget, yeah. Go-Go neck. Maybe
that
it goes a little bit farther.
So our heads are like huge.
That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
So let's see. What we want to share now, we kind of came up with a list here. All right. And when you come up with lists, it's always open to interpretation. But we mentioned last show in our 8 Secrets for a Stress-Free Summer, one of the ideas was to go to a movie, summer blockbuster, you know, the perfect time all the great movies
which
come out.
What are you doing tomorrow?
Yeah, we're going to go see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
So,
which I was a little nervous about.
Yeah.
But we got a recommendation from a trusted friend.
Yeah, so. I love Johnny Depp.
I love him, yeah.
We love Johnny Depp, and think he does a great job. But in that preview, he seems a little psycho.
Yeah.
And the Willy Wonka character is a little bit weird to begin with.
Right.
But, so it kind of scared me off a little bit. But a cousin of mine actually had seen it and said it was just phenomenal. So
we're
definitely said that it was is worth going. So we'll see how that goes.
We'll
again,
if
it's Johnny
time.
Depp, I think it's worth taking a chance because I think he's one of the best actors of our generation. But so anyway, that leads into our theme of today of 8 adultitis curing movies. So
sweet.
If you have or think you might have adultitis, these movies, we're going to guarantee it, right? We're just going to guarantee that these movies will cure adultitis.
Especially if you see them all.
Yeah, if you
know?
See them all, if you have a major full-blown case of adultitis, you might need to see them all. Take a day off work.
Well, it's 8 hours.
And,
no,
yeah.
I guess it wouldn't be.
Yeah, 16.
Yeah.
So you might need to do that. But and if you're, you know, you just want to stay young, these are movies to kind of keep you remembering what's important about childhood.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the first one, and these are in no particular order whatsoever, was hard enough to come up with only 8.
Yes,
and
we had like 25 on our initial list.
Yeah, but we kind of came up with the ones that we like the best. So here we go. The first one,
my favorite,
might be sort of a stretch. It's not certainly not an obvious one, but it's City of Angels, and that came out in 1998, and it starred Nicolas Cage and Meg Ryan. And it's about an angel who basically falls in love with a human who is Meg Ryan. She's a doctor and decides that he wants to, quote unquote, take the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And that means he wants to give up his angelic powers to be human or whatever. Now, I certainly don't want to get into any kind of philosophical debate of, you know, angels can't do that or
should
whatever.
They do that?
And, you
is
know,
it
how close is it to the Bible or whatever like that? Because it's the reason I like this movie is besides the point. The reason I like this movie and why I think it helps cure adultitis is because it really goes in line with the idea of delighting in the little things. And the thing that really stood out to me in that movie is when Seth the Angel, who's played by Nicolas Cage, when he takes the fall, he experiences all of these things that we as humans experience and take for granted.
Because they couldn't have, like, they didn't have their senses.
Right.
Angels,
they didn't have
right?
the same senses. They couldn't.
Not like feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So the human world was completely sort of foreign to them. And so Seth experiences all these things. I remember there's one scene where he takes a shower and turns it on, and he turns it on too hot, and he's like, oh, you know. And it shocks him, you know. But then he really enjoys that feeling. If you think about it, when you take a shower in the morning or whatever and the water's coming out, it's like a good feeling, you know, but it's like we do it every day, you know, and it's like we have to rush and hurry up, and it's like those sensory type things. Another thing is eating a pear.
Yeah.
You know, we all, you know what a pear tastes like. It's got a specific texture, and that was something, the crunchiness of it, that really stood out. So throughout the whole movie, there's this idea of like someone experiencing the things we experience every day for the first time. And that really opened my eyes to the things around me that, you know, were taken for granted.
Right. Delighting in those little things every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That is a good one. We also came up with the movie Big, which came out in 1988. That starred Tom Hanks. That is just a classic movie talking about childhood and as an adult, what does that look like? This 13-year-old boy, he kind of has like a not so pleasant childhood himself. I think there's some family issues going on there. And he goes to some carnival and makes that wish. You know, I love how these like fictional movies, like, you know, don't think about how it really happens. Right. Just go with it, right? Okay, so he makes this wish. He wants to be grown up now, which you talk about in your book. Is like adolescence is that time where you're just forced to, like, in the, just by being an adolescent, you're forced to be like, I want to be big. I want to drive. I want to have my own place. I want to be able to eat when I want to eat, when I want to do this.
Adulthood and, you know, seems so appealing when you're little.
Right? Yeah. And so
foolish we were.
He was right in that prime of his life, and, you know, his wish came true. And that's where the funniness starts, of course, where he wakes up trapped basically in Tom Hanks's body and his life. And he ironically works for this toy company, and he ends up, you know, and the funny parts of like him, what does it look like when a 13-year-old's trapped in an adult's body and he's in like a corporate meeting coming up with ideas? Well, ironically, it works good because he's like a toy person, and he climbs the corporate ladder, gets the girl. What does that look like? It's a funny one, but the cute and sweet part that I like about Big is by the end, he wants his childhood back. And he like gets this taste of what adulthood really is as a 13-year-old, and he really wants to go back to childhood as much as his childhood kind of stunk, you know? So that's just a classic rental. I mean,
obviously, the classic scene is the F.A.O. Schwartz, I believe, scene with the big keyboard where it's the big floor, full size keyboard, and he's dancing on it. Yep. And we actually saw that keyboard. We went to New York City a couple years ago. That was kind of cool. But one of my other scenes I just remembered about was when he was, I don't know if he was going to apply for a job or whatever, but the guy asked him for a social security number, and Tom Hanks just started saying numbers until he felt like he should be done, because, you know, kids have no idea how many social security numbers there are or whatever. So that was kind of a fun thing of just like that contrast between adult and childlike,
and just a classic Tom Hanks. I mean, if you thought he was childlike in Forrest Gump, this is just another realm of. And then also the one with the volleyball, what was that movie? Castaway. He just has that natural childlike spirit that I think just brings out these characters even more so.
Speaking of Forrest Gump, that's I'm going to stick with Forrest Gump and Tom Hanks, and that's our third movie released in 1994. Of course, had the great soundtrack. I think it was one of the top 5 or 10 grossing movies of all time. So probably chances are that you've seen this already, but it's one of those movies you can see again and again. And one of the cool things about this movie, why it was we picked it, is because. You know, Forrest character is not exactly the most smartest guy in the book, you know. But he keeps this childlike spirit throughout the whole movie. And, you know, it's sort of a kind of a neat guide of how to go through life and things like that. And I think the nostalgia piece is big for anyone, you know, because it really covers the decades from like the 50s even through the beginning of the middle 80s. So there's a lot of like nostalgic type things that people of all ages would remember from their childhood and growing up and stuff like that. And one of the things that I think sort of underrated about it is I think it makes you think about maintaining perspective. Because if you think about it, Forrest Gump has all these amazing experiences that he has, but a lot of the people that are close to him suffer terrible things. And, you know, his mother, I think, dies of cancer. Lieutenant Dan, who's one of his friends from Vietnam, has both of his legs amputated. I think even his buddy Bubba, he dies in Vietnam.
Yeah, that's right.
And his girlfriend, you know, she gets AIDS. So there's like all these. And then even someone made a comment, like even the world political figures that he comes in contact with experience tragedy. Like he meets John F. Kennedy and he ends up being assassinated, and Elvis Presley, you know, has an overdose and stuff like that. But I think through it all, it's a story about life, and that life, there's a lot of bad things that happen, but somehow Forrest is able to keep that childlike spirit that keeps him going and maintains some of the beauty, what beauty is about life, and balances some of that stuff. So I think it's a really cool contrast for that. And even though there's a lot of sad things that go on, it's an uplifting movie overall. And I think the reason that it's uplifting is because of the childlike spirit that Forrest has. So
yeah, that's well put. And kind of going into that childlike spirit, The next movie we have on our list is The Princess Bride, which came out in 1987. And this is like another, I use the word classic overused.
It's a cult classic.
It is really a cult classic. This whole fantasy world, this fairy tale that is just put in, I think, the parts of the childlike, you know, curing adultitis that go along with this movie is the ability to dream big. And the ability to have like this playful spirit. And this movie encompassed both of those things, because not only was it the fantasy fairy tale that kind of swept you away as a young girl. I was just, you know, oh, to be Princess Buttercup and have, you know,
Princess Buttercup.
Yeah, to have Wesley.
Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yeah, these names alone just are so fun. The playfulness and the names and the characters and the costumes, like Prince Humperdinck and the giant.
Inigo Montoya.
Yeah, Count Ruger, was it Ruger or something with the six fingers? And, yes, you know, like all these characters that just bring out this kind of playful mindset. And the funny thing about this is that when we first started dating, I don't know if you remember this, we were talking about movies or whatever. I think I brought up this movie as being like a classic, you know, childhood movie. Us girls, we owned it and we would watch it like once a week, you know. And I thought it was a girl movie. I thought it was like just girls love this because of the whole, you know, princess being swept away by this prince and he was in love with her and all this. And here, total come to chick find flick. Out you guys loved it too.
Yeah, because of the adventure side, you right. know, all of the giants and the pirates and the special effects and, yeah, the
dashing. You don't have to be, it doesn't matter what your gender is, to be playful and dream big. And I think those two things come out in this movie of just, like, you know, wanting the best to happen and it all works out in the end. And
which is, yeah, one of the cool things is it's got this fantastic nature, but it's got this, I don't know if you'd call it sarcasm, but like yes, adult thing that humor. Goes through it that like little kids, you know, you don't get at the beginning. And I think that's kind of what I try to do with Kim and Jason is to have this like innocence in within it, but also have this extra level of fun for grown-ups. Yeah. It doesn't have to be this like watered down cheesiness kind of thing.
Right.
And I think that's what kind of, as you get older, makes you love the movie even right. more, is those just, little hidden gems.
Just because something's family friendly doesn't mean it has to be lame.
Right.
You know, exactly. I mean, let's be honest.
That's very well put.
okay.
So the next one is, let's go with Robin Williams and Patch Adams. And this is based off of a true story of a real guy named Hunter Patch Adams, who went to medical school. And starring Robin Williams, came out in 1998. And really, it's the perfect movie for childhood battling adultitis. Okay, so the whole Patch Adams character is trying to battle, and one of the quotes he uses in the movie is, "We need to treat the patients as well as the disease." Mm-hmm. And so you've got him on one side who's trying to bring, to encourage dreams and bring joy and laughter to some of these patients who are in these sterile hospital environments. And the other side of the coin of these doctors in a very adult stance. And it's like all about the disease, and they forget about the humanity of the people. And, you know, it's all about dreaming big and going after what you're passionate about. And totally, if you are unclear about what adultitis is, yes. watch that movie, watch the doctors, and you will see what adultitis is. Yes. And the cool thing is that it's a real story, and Patch Adams is a real guy.
Yeah.
One of the guys, he wrote a letter to us about our book and was pretty cool about that and sent a cool picture. So he's still going for it. He's still spreading that message of peace and laughter and things like that. So it's a really good movie in and of itself, and the mm-hmm. fact that it's a real story, all the better.
So much, it makes it even more inspiring, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, the next one is, I think, it's The Christmas Story, A Christmas Story in 1983 with little Ralphie and the BB gun.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid.
Talk about childhood memories. I think everyone just embraces this movie because when you watch it, it just sparks your own childlike memories and just the wonder and the awe and of childhood. And whether it's, you know, Ralphie wanting that BB gun and with the little, what's that little thing he does in the bathroom? The little code.
The decoder.
Yeah, decoder ring.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
And then his brother with the mashed potatoes, like smushing it like a little piggy. And just even one of my favorite scenes is when Ralphie brings that big, huge, like enormous basket of fruit for his teacher. And he's so proud, you know, and just those little moments of childhood where you're like, just so innocent and just so, you know, I don't know. Everyone brings different parts of that story away from with them. But I think no matter what, if you watch A Christmas Story, you're going to bring back some awesome Christmas or just awesome childhood memories. So
yeah, it's a good Christmas one. So yeah. Interesting to be talking about in the middle of July, but right. You know, when Christmas comes around. Okay, another adultitis example one, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Okay, another cult classic came out in 1986.
Save Ferris.
Basically all 80s all the time, so totally we relate to it. But the thing that strikes me about it is Ferris is this, you know, high school character who takes a day off school, and he's really harmless. Like the whole movie, you watch it and you've got all these people who are against him. You've got the principal, and you've got
Mr. Rooney, his
parents to some extent, but his sister, Mr. Rooney. You've got the maitre d' at the restaurant. I mean, all these people who are against it. But really what he's doing is not really hurting anyone. It's a harmless sort of thing, which is, again, really sums up the idea of adultitis. Is like, you can have a childlike spirit and go through life with a childlike spirit without being hurting anyone. You know, it's not, you're not, but to the adults, it's bad news.
It's threatening.
You know, it's a very threatening thing.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the most humorous things about the movie. And it's just this, he just has this natural, playful spirit. And, which I think, really is what appeal to that movie. Just
people
goes.
Love that
and
movie.
And I think another thing is his friend Cameron is almost like he's like the adult, and like the whole movie, Ferris, who represents like the childlike spirit, is trying to get through Cameron.
That's right.
who is his peer. He is a teenager, but he's got this adultitis like running through his veins.
Yeah.
And then the movie is like about him trying to like get
with
back.
His dad's car.
In a way, you know, without sounding too important or anything like that, I think like that we are trying to be that Ferris character for the rest of the world to help break down that Cameron. We hope that you people that are out there that are getting this concept, you too are also kind of take up that banner to just chip away at the Camerons in your life.
Yes.
To be able to help them to see that life is more than, you know, the little things that we hold on to so tightly, and it can be a lot of fun, and you don't have to, it just can be a good thing, you know. You can really live.
That scene at the end where he's running through the streets trying to beat his mom or dad home or whatever. Mm-hmm. I love it because that's like symbolic of like, don't let adulthood catch up with you. Just keep running.
Right.
Whether you're running through people's houses as they're cooking dinner or jumping on trampolines, it's like classic scenes. But okay, our last of 8 adultitis curing movies today is something we just saw a couple weeks ago. And I think it not to be too dramatic, but it was, I think, life-changing for me, this movie. It was called Finding Neverland, and it came out in 2004, so it was just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it got great reviews. It had Kate Winslet and
very critically acclaimed
Johnny Depp again in it. But basically, it's the story. It is based on true events. There are some fictional things they added to it, but it's the story of the life of J.M. Barrie, the playwright who wrote Peter Pan.
Mm-hmm.
And it is amazing. Without giving too much away, but he basically... It shows the story of how he became friends with this family of 4 boys. And he spent the summer kind of playing with them and imagining with them. And through this period of time with them, just having this playful, you know, fantasy summer, he came up with all these wonderful ideas for the story Peter Pan. They were basically like the inspiration for this, which was just a genre-breaking story at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it was like early 1900s.
Yeah.
And a play like that had never been done.
Right.
So
the play
huge.
Community typically was, you know, adults, older, wealthy.
High status.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Snooty, things like that. So
to have a play with Tinkerbell, a little light and a dog that's goofy and, you know, kids flying and all the stuff that Peter Pan is with the pirates and all that. I mean, this was huge for its time. And the story of his life is just so inspiring. So I, without saying too much, just go see it or rent it. It was amazing. I really, really liked it.
Really good. And the special features are fun, too, on that one.
Yeah.
So, all right. So that's our list of 8 movies, 8 adultitis curing movies. Did we miss one? That's up to you.
I'm sure we did.
If you guys think, if someone out there thinks we missed one that should have been on this list, email us. Just email us at podcast@kimandjason.com. And again, the email will be in our show notes on our blogs. But email us the movie you think should have been on there and why. Let us know why. And whoever we think makes the best case for why their movie should be on this list, we will give you a free book, a free Escape Adulthood book.
Yes.
So send us your emails, podcast@kimandjason.com. I'm sure we missed something.
I hope we get some ideas for some new rentals.
Yeah,
you
maybe
know?
Ones that we haven't seen. So let us
please.
Know.
Please, yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that. So won't you wrap your arms around her, hold her so dear. She won't sleep a minute until she gets near to the things she treasures, all she left behind, to the one that saved her.
Now it's time for the K&J update portion of our show. We have some very fun things going on right now in the company. One of the most notable is online. We have our t-shirt voting. We have had t-shirts for the last couple of years, but not to this extent. Jason is going to be launching a new, some new t-shirts with our whole Escape Adulthood concept. And if you're one of those people like me where you're just like wanting to put your, what you live by, what your life philosophy is on your chest as you walk through to let everybody know, you know, there's so many cool t-shirts out there today, and online in the show notes, there'll be a link to, for you to see some of the t-shirts we have. They're one of my most favorite ones. There's one with Stinky on the front and it says underneath, adulthood stinks. Mm-hmm. So it just ties in, you know, this whole concept of like, we know it stinks. Let's just say it, you know, and there's another fun one that has our classic airplane or paper airplane on it. And it says, I'm not middle-aged. I'm beginning my second childhood. So yeah. Although I can't wear that yet because I don't think I'm middle-aged yet, I think there's a lot of you who would identify with that. So check them out. There's some great ones, and definitely tell us which ones you would like to wear so we kind of have an idea of what you're wanting.
Right.
So.
We're only going to produce a couple at a time, so we want to know which ones you guys want to see. And just by voting, you can actually be entered to win a t-shirt.
That's
when it comes out.
Yeah.
So check that
even
out.
Better.
Another cool thing, this is our second podcast, and we're already in iTunes.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool. iTunes has 50 million, I think, people who have downloaded iTunes. It's a free music player software from Apple, and it is available on PC or Mac. And they have in their music store section, they have podcasts now there where you can get podcasts. And we are located in the family section, the subcategory of family section under their podcast. And if you go into the iTunes program and search for us, you can go into that category or just type in Escape Adulthood and it'll come up. And you can listen to our shows right from there. Plus, there's a button where you can subscribe to get it. And basically you can subscribe so that whenever our show is updated, it'll automatically download it to your computer.
Sweet.
And you can listen to it whenever it comes out. So that's pretty cool. We've had a lot of people from iTunes that have found us and have listened. So we'd like to welcome all of you folks out there.
Thanks.
Hope you're enjoying the show and tell all your friends about us.
And the last notable thing in our K&J update today is a huge thing, actually. We're very excited. The book is here. The printer shipped them out, and we have the Escape Adulthood book, 8 Secrets from Childhood for the Stressed Out Grown-Up. So they have arrived. So if you've pre-ordered, you will be getting your package soon.
Yeah.
And enjoy. We are totally pumped. If you have not ordered yours yet, check out our lemonade stand in the show notes to be able to see how to do that.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We went out to celebrate last night.
Yes.
Went out to eat, and Kim had made the comment that it's been 20 months since I've started working on it, and it was a longer process than I thought.
Two babies worth.
That was, yes, they compare it to having a baby, and again, I don't know that the pain was the same, but the longevity certainly was
the
there.
The emotional attachment's there,
and
that's for
sure. The margarita I had last night sure tasted very good to have that done.
Celebratory.
So.
Mm-hmm. Now for the facts and feedback section of our show. We had a promotion last week where we asked you to write in and tell us about some ideas that you had to help break away from the stresses of summer. So we have our winner. Our winning entry came from Meredith Foster. Thanks, Meredith, for writing in. I'll share her. And the thing was with our promotion, you had to share an idea that you had to have a stress-free summer and also an idea from a friend. So I'm going to share her idea.
She had a good one.
Yes, she did. I'm just going to read this now. It says, okay, my idea for a stress-free summer is to go to a local playground, either at a park or at an elementary school with a friend, and just play on the equipment. Don't break anything, though, she says. And just run around like you did when you were a little kid. Swing on the swing set, play on the monkey bars, go down on the slide. Just plain old little kid fun. And you could also pack a picnic or just bring some little fruit snacks. Yummy. We've done that. It's so fun. Yep. Just go to a park. And this is her idea, her friend's idea. Her friend is Melissa Miles. My friend's idea is to buy some balloons with helium. For this idea, it's best if you get one like that's like rubber or whatever, or just not one of those shiny silvery ones. Or if possible, get one of the ones for free from a fast food restaurant. Then you can play with them. For example, hit it against the ground or at a friend. Or you could blow one up and then have a balloon volleyball game going. Try to keep the balloon off the ground, just hit it up. Then when you're all done playing with your balloon, pop it if you blew it up with your mouth, or if it's helium filled, go outside to a place like a park and just let it go and watch it go up and up until you can see it no longer. I thought those were totally awesome ideas.
Totally.
Yeah. And so thanks so much, Meredith and Melissa, and both of you will be getting your free books this week. So
yep, thanks for... We'll be in touch with you guys. I think one of the other things that reminded me of with the balloon thing was water balloons, especially with
definitely.
It being so hot. And you just don't see enough adults out there with water doing water balloon fights.
Yes.
I think that's a shame. That's a crime. So use one of those ideas. I think is some good additions to that list.
Right.
If you have any comments or feedback, definitely let us know. We got some cool notes from our last show. Tony Brown wrote in to tell us, I didn't get to listen to the whole thing yet because I was called away from my desk, but I'm so excited. I'm thrilled to be able to hear your interactions and the way that you are so smooth and bonded in your relationship. I will also use your vacation ideas. I have the same crazy life and not able to get the big week away. That's from Tony Brown. Thank you, Tony Brown. That is very, very nice of you to say. We appreciate that. And it's exciting to hear that you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
This is another one from, I believe it was from Casey, but I think it's John and Casey from Domestic Life. And she said, hey, I listened to your first show today and I really enjoyed it. It's amazing the whole thing, the things we forget sometimes when the adult, being the adults that we are. I have two children, and watching my three-year-old reminds me to take time for the little things every once in a while. We just recently started a podcast also. Actually, that's how I found your show. We are listed under the family section in iTunes like you. Ours is about our life and the ups and downs of raising kids in today's times. Again, I love the show and can't wait to hear the next episode. So again, that we have listened to that, and
yeah.
We're hopefully going to be working on trading promos with them, which would be kind of cool. But their show is called Domestic Life. It's in iTunes, and it's a really, really cool show. They have some neat perspectives on being parents. We're not parents yet, so those of you who are will definitely get some interesting perspectives from them.
Yeah,
check
it out.
Just some neat stuff there. And finally, Jason Bean, who is actually the person who submitted our podcast to iTunes.
Right.
He saved me a little bit of time.
Thanks, Jason.
He wrote that he plans to add our comic strip to his website, which is available. If you'd like to know more about that, just give us an email. I really enjoyed reading them and your blogs. Not sure if I mentioned it or not previously, but I just thought it was really interesting that my wife and I are Jason and Kim as well. I look forward to staying in touch in the future and continuing to learn how to escape adulthood. So,
All right, Jason.
Another nice email from Jason, and we've emailed back a couple times and found out that we have
an interesting blog himself, so you have to check out his stuff.
Yeah.
We'll put that on our show notes,
mm-hmm. But he's got some cool stuff there, and we actually have a lot of similarities between us, so it's sort of interesting.
Definitely. If you have any comments or feedback on how to make the show better, we'd love to hear from you. So just send us an email at podcast@kimandjason.com, and we'll be sure to to check them out. Thanks so much.
Yep.
One of our last portions of our show today is called The Cool Thing. Jason and I come up with a cool thing each show to be able to help you escape adulthood, have some fun, bring some fun into this adult life. And our cool thing that we experienced was last weekend at Jason's parents' house. They are industrial strength magnets. Okay. Now, mm-hmm. I've played with magnets as a child and even in adulthood here and there, but these things were just unbelievably strong.
Yes. Very small, too.
Yes, they're very tiny, probably smaller than a dime. But Jason's dad had said that you can get them at any hardware store. Mm-hmm. But I am talking, like, to separate two of these, you have to, like...
be strong.
Yeah. They were so fun to play with. And it's just, I want to get some for my desk when I'm, you know, making calls and doing work, because it's just fun to kind of play with them a little bit. But we had them on the kitchen table after lunch, and I happened to just kind of nonchalantly, like, move them, and it just, like, sucked up all these forks and knives, and they are unbelievable. So check them out. That's our cool thing for the week.
And, our prescription for the day and going forth, the prescription of the day is to pick out one of the movies on our list and watch it. So just to recap, the eight movies we came up with was City of Angels, Big, Forrest Gump, The Princess Bride, Patch Adams, A Christmas Story, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and the newly released Finding Neverland. So pick one of those out. Go to maybe you already have some. If there's one on there that you haven't seen, see it. Go rent it.
Definitely.
Borrow it from a friend. That's your job for the week.
And we're actually taking our own advice. You know, we're seeing a new one tomorrow, so we'll let you know how Willy Wonka is next show.
Charlie
and
the Chocolate Factory.
Yep. Yep. So that's it for today's show. Be sure to check out escapeadulthood.com for today's show notes, featuring links from some of the things we talked about here on the show today. For Jason, this is Kim signing off from Madison, Wisconsin. Thanks for listening. And remember, it's never too late to have a second childhood.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
It's a little childish and stupid, but then so is high school.